Corey Lewandowski, regular contributor, of course. Corey Lewandowski, a confidant, advisor still with the former President Donald Trump, and he managed President Trump's presidential campaign. Joining us to make some news this morning. Good morning, New Hampshire GMI Studios. Good morning, Corey.
Good morning, Jack.
So is it just me, Corey, when I look at the national news or not?
Jack, look, what we saw yesterday in New Hampshire was Joe Biden being walked back by his own administration again. You know, Joe was let loose. The Easter Bunny wasn't there to save him when he landed yesterday when the reporter asked him a question about masks on airplanes. And I think Joe Biden actually gave the answer that most Americans wanted to hear, that it's your choice. If you want to wear a mask on an airplane, you should be able to do that. And what we saw from this administration was when the federal judge in Florida ruled that it was unconstitutional because the CDC doesn't make laws, and so they were going to suspend that mandate, the administration did not come out immediately and challenge that. They did not ask for a stay. They were silent for 24 hours.
Right.
Joe Biden gets in front of the camera and says, you know what, it's up to the people. Literally hours later, his administration then goes and challenges the ruling of the federal judge in Florida. He had no idea it was coming. They've left Joe in the dark again. It's like when he walked off the stage the other day trying to shake hands with the air. He just has no idea where he is or what he's doing. And Jack, you saw the pictures of Joe Biden yesterday in New Hampshire at, you know, what was supposed to be this rally on Build It Back Better. There had to be 80% of the seats were empty. It was incredible and really disheartening. If you're a person who wants to see our country be successful, see that nobody even wants to turn out and hear the leader of the free world speak.
Who's in charge? And what I mean by this, a few weeks ago, the president in his big talk in Warsaw and Poland on his trip after the G7 emergency meeting, he said, my God, Putin, he's got to go. He can't be in charge. He's got to go. And the president was speaking, I think, emotionally from his heart. And the administration the whole weekend said the president didn't mean that. He wasn't calling for regime change. He didn't mean that. Who's in charge?
Well, clearly he is not in charge. When he used the word genocide, the administration walked it back after. When he said that that Putin has to go, they walked it back after. When he said that people should be able to make their decision on mask mandates on planes, they walk it back after. What we know, Jack, is that Jen Psaki and some of the leadership in the White House are running this country, and they're putting Joe Biden out there as a puppet. And that was so evident yesterday. And what we see is when Joe Biden speaks extemporaneously, meaning he goes off the teleprompter, every single time someone in the administration walks it back. Can you imagine in the Trump administration if he would have said something and maybe spoken off the teleprompter a few times, which we all know he did, and then every person in the administration said that's not what the president meant? But you know what, Jack? Most of the mainstream media has given this administration a pass. We know that the press secretary, Jen Psaki, has signed a deal to go to MSNBC. She continues to brief the media. She called Peter Ducey a vulgarity this week. No outcry from the White House Correspondents Association. No attack from her to get an apology to Peter Ducey, who is the White House reporter for Fox News. Can you imagine if Kayleigh McEnany or Sarah Huckabee would have done the same thing about another reporter? They would be up in arms. But because it's the reporters on the left, she gets a pass.
Let me ask you this, Corey Lewandowski. Some people in office now with the midterms around the corner are going to the southwest border, I think, although my UVM math may be wrong, for the first time. They've been in office for years. Now they're going down to the border. They voted against whenever former President Trump, talked about finding funding to build a wall. Worried about security, worried about drugs, worried about illegal immigration. They voted against that. Now they're going down, they're seeing how bad this is, and they're calling for a physical infrastructure or something and more border agents. What's going on here?
It's called political expediency. They know that the 2022 election cycle is going to be a great year for Republicans. We know that illegal immigrants are continuing to cross this border and doing damage. And we see what Governor Greg Abbott in Texas is doing. He's literally rounding up illegal immigrants, sticking them on buses, and bringing them to Washington, D.C. And what he said yesterday, which is very funny to me, although it's such a serious matter, was if Washington, D.C. gets too inundated with illegal immigrants, I'll just start shipping them to Delaware. Look, at what point does the administration step up and say, we're going to protect our borders? And Jack, the truth is, and I have enormous respect for our police officers in this great country. The southern border is truly a war zone, and it's not police who can do it. It's a National Guard from our states around this country that needs to be sent down there to prevent this war from continuing. And we've seen governor after governor now do that. The Republican governors are sending their National Guards down there because they know what's going on. And finally, politicians who are on the ballot in November who see a reckoning coming are saying, wow, we better do something about this. The American people are not stupid. They know that they had the opportunity to finish this wall when Biden first got in. And on May 23rd, you see now that Chris Pappas and Maggie Hassan all of a sudden are opposing the president's potential or pressuring the president on this decision that comes down on May 23rd as it relates to immigration coming into the country. Why? Because they're on the ballot and they're trying to break from Joe Biden, who's sitting at 33% approval rating and at about 15% with people ages 18 to 25. So this is their opportunity to try and say, see, we're not in lockstep. It's an issue that they've had the opportunity to solve for years. They chose not to, and now they're doing it strictly for political convenience.
Let me ask you this, Corey. Looking at the races here locally, you mentioned the midterms earlier, referenced a week ago, you were talking about some of the fundraising numbers that are in with some of the candidates. Are you and the former president trying to urge Wendy Long, a New Hampshire resident now, she ran for Senate in New York in 2012 and 2016, to run for the U.S. Senate or not?
I would not want to divulge any kind of private conversations. I can tell you that for anybody who doesn't know Wendy, she's a Dartmouth graduate. She has New Hampshire roots, and more than that, she's exceptionally intelligent, as she clerked for Clarence Thomas when she was a clerk for him as he served on the court. So someone who's very intelligent, someone who has raised a lot of money, has obviously, as you mentioned, Jack, run for office on two separate occasions in New York for the U.S. Senate, once against Chuck Schumer and once against Gillibrand. So, look, it's hard to come to New Hampshire and establish roots and run when you haven't been from here. But that being said, most people who have been elected at the federal office here in New Hampshire were not born in this state, Jack. And I can go back 30 years and point them all out. So, look, you know, New Hampshire does have a history of sending females to Washington, D.C., both at the Senate level and at the congressional level. And so that's something to take into consideration. And there could be an argument to be made that a strong female candidate would have a better chance against Maggie Hassan than somebody who's already in the race. Not my argument, but it could be made.
In the first congressional district, there's a number of candidates. Do you expect him? Do you think the former President Trump will be making an endorsement soon in the Republican first congressional district race, the primary?
I don't think it's going to be soon. You know, unfortunately, New Hampshire continues to have a September primary. We've got a primary in Ohio that's coming up on the 3rd. We've got Nebraska on the 10th. We've got Georgia coming up, Pennsylvania coming up, where the president has put a lot of his equity into a number of these races right now, and I know that that's the focus. So I think you're going to see it will be a while before the president makes the endorsement. What we do know, though, Jack, is that that first congressional district, those candidates are raising real money. We know that Chris Pappas is unbelievably vulnerable. We know that if we would have actually passed the map, which would have made this a +7 district as opposed to the governor threatening the veto, that it would have been a 100% slam dunk for whoever the Republican nominee is that would have won that seat, particularly in this climate. But I think even that being said, the Republicans are going to win the first congressional district, and they're raising the money to show how competitive that seat's going to be.
Finally, you're with the former president a lot. You were with him a lot when he ran, and then you managed his campaign through the winning early stages when a lot of people thought it couldn't be done. He went on to win. Do you think Donald Trump will run again for president in 2024? You, Corey Lewandowski, do you think he will actually run again, yes or no?
Jack, it's never just that easy of an answer. I think there's a couple of variables. Look, the truth is he wants to win the midterm elections, return the House and the Senate to Republican control. That is a factor in his decision matrix. Health is always a factor in the decision matrix. And in the mood of the country, and I think what we're seeing across this country, Jack, is this country has a longing for new leadership in the White House. Joe Biden supposedly told Barack Obama this week that he's seeking re-election in 2024. I think that is an absolute devastation for the Democratic Party. And I think what you're going to see is when they lose control of the House, people like Nancy Pelosi and Steny Hoyer who are the leaders right now, are going to be pushed aside for the Cori Bushes of the world and the Ilhan Omars and the AOCs, and the Democrats are going to continue to go to the furthest left possible. And I think that will help encourage a person like Donald Trump to get into this race.
Thank you very much, Cory Lewandowski. Always straightforward on Good Morning New Hampshire. Make it a great Wednesday. Thank you.
Take care.